Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually and physically fit. Well, tonight is just me, folks, just me. No speaker for tonight. I want to talk about failure. What does failure mean to you? Is there a difference between failure and spiritual failure? Do Christians experience less failure than regular Christians? So let's find out after these messages.
Renee Wiggins is a Christian life coach and host of Transformation Give Up the Struggle, where she helps to equip and empower you from the inside out so you can share your story in order that others may grow physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Well, this is Renee. I am back. How are you doing this evening out there, my listeners? Spiritual failure. What does God say about being a failure? Is there a difference between regular failure and spiritual failure? What does failure mean to you? Well, let's first go to the dictionary. Failure, an act that fails, an event that does not accomplish its intended purpose. Lack of success, a person with a record of failing, someone who loses consistently. That seemed like me because of my last job. I was just continually doing the same thing over and over and over again. Then my boss said, what is it? Why can't you get it? You need retraining? You know, why is it you can't get it? You're not detailed. You know, what's going on? A person with a record of failing. That could be me or could be you. An unexpected omission. Inability to discharge all your debts as they come due. Loss of ability to function normally. Failure to comply with the rules. Or could you be a father, make promises to your children, but then do not carry them out? Is that considered failing? Are you a failure? What about the husband that makes promises to the wife? I promise to obey you as well as take care of you. But he doesn't. He beats you instead. Is he a failure? What about you accomplishing your dream job, but you don't get it, or you don't get reach to it? Are you a failure? What about having all that money in the bank that you wanted by a certain time? Are you considered a failure? Failure means that you didn't make your goal. You didn't reach your potential. There's a lot of us that didn't reach our potential. But does that really qualify as failure? In man's eyes, yes. But in God's eyes, no. Failure is when I do not reach my goal, somebody says. I think to fail at something is making a mistake, not learning anything from it. To them, failure means to have a goal and not do anything about it. I think failure is not reaching your potential. Or you have the resources but do not use them. Is that considered a failure? Failure means not to accomplish that particular goal or reach that goal. Yes. Failure, a word that should we have that in our dictionary? But what about the Christians? When you become a Christian, is your role peachy and creamy? You know, never fail. Everything is happy-go-lucky. You're dancing, you're singing all around. Michael Jordan puts it this way. If it wasn't for his failures, he would not be successful or where he's at now. And I remember one of the talk shows, one of the ladies was overhearing a conversation about other comedians talking about her. She was supposed to go on a road trip. But somebody, she acknowledged God, told her to be quiet while they were busy talking about her. Negative now. She hung up the phone, called back the producer and said, "You know what? I don't think I need to go on that road trip. I don't think so. Maybe another time." Well, yes, she met those other people and worked with them, but she never told them about the conversation she heard. And now she is on a talk show with Connie Chung and, you know, all these other famous people. And she says, if it wasn't for her writing down those things, she would not be where she is at now. She wasn't meant to be on that road trip with them people. You see? She may fail within their eyes of not being what they consider a comedian, but in God's eyes, she was always a happy-go-lucky spiritual person, so he gave her something bigger and better. In the Bible, do we have people that had a failed thing? What about David? He was considered an adulterer, a murderer. He lied, he cheated. But God, time after time, always rewarded him and always, what he says, give me a new mind, a new soul, and a new heart. And God, time after time, always what? Forgave. He was not considered a failure in God's eyes. What about Saul persecuting the Christians? But what happened to Saul on that trip, that road to Damascus, those 3 days of going blind and staying blind, Saul became Paul. Saul the murderer became Paul the teacher. But God did not consider him a failure. He uses people that are downtrodden in the pit, that are laying out there to teach other people. He doesn't go for the brightest. He don't go for the beautiful one. He don't go for the one that has a lot of money in the bank. He goes for those that he knows he can use, those that can love him, trust, and obey. What about Jonah? Jonah was asked to teach and teach at the city of Nineveh, N-I-N-E-V-E-H, to teach about repentance. Repentance means to write off your wrongs. But what did Jonah did? He ran away from God, didn't he? He ran away from God. And so therefore he kept running into these obstacles until finally he surrendered and said, okay, God, I now am going to listen and obey. What about Eve? It says in the Bible forbidden fruit. It doesn't say apple, peach, or plum or plum. She knew what she wasn't supposed to do, grab that forbidden fruit. But did she fail to listen? Yes. Did she fail to obey? Yes. Did she fail to trust God? Yes. But they ran away from him. They ran away from God. That was what? Eve and Adam. But he loved them time after time after time. He forgave. How many times can he forgive us? 7 times 7, they say. He can forgive and forgive as much as he wants. It is in man's eyes that every time we fail, every time we make a mistake, that their love for us decreases. But in God's eyes, his love for us always increases, always, because he already knows. He already made the path for us. He already made the step. He knows where we are headed. Whereas man only believes what they see. And we're supposed to have faith. And we're supposed to believe in what we don't see. That's a true believer. Believe in what you don't see, because God is what has a path laid out for us, our steps laid out for us. And yes, along the way, we're going to stumble and fall, but God would never leave us nor forsake us. But man does, doesn't he? He does leave us. He does forsake us. He kicks us to the side. You know, he turns our back on us. But God does not, whether we stumble or fall, whether we get mad or angry, or whatever we do, he always forgive us. In my Sunday school class, they always talk about, are we ever going to give heaven? Does God forgive us? Even when the person never believed in God, never went to church or anything, on his dying bed, God has forgiven you all the time. He loves you just the way you are. He made you in his image, not in man's image, in his image. We have to concentrate on that. So I asked this question to a lot of my friends on Facebook. What has failure meant to them? And a lot of you, thank you, came back and said, it doesn't account for how much money you have in the bank, whether you fail or not, that God will always love you no matter what. You got to be, one of the qualities they said, always helping somebody else. That's part of being, you know, being a Christian. We always help somebody else. We always run with the winners. We always would meditate, concentrate on His word. You're not a failure. Now, what about those that intentionally fail? You know, you're working in groups at church, you're working in groups on the job, and you know you got a project, and you depend on that person, but that person does not show up, or that person does not carry through. I've been in that ministries when you ask somebody, and then when it comes to the event, they didn't do it. So the whole group, in a way, failed. But you got to forgive them and go on, because God did the same thing. If you don't forgive them, how can He forgive you? So the intention of failure, making you stumble, or the group stumble, or they're angry, or people say, well, you know what, and I'm never going to change. Eventually they will. God sees them. He lets them stumble and fall for a while, but I don't mean like fall down, but it's what? It's in our failures and mistakes that we learn a lesson. It is in the valleys, in the deep valleys, that we learn our life lessons. Look at failures as life lessons. Look at failures as stepping stones, you told me, to something bigger and greater. Don't concentrate on the word failure all the time, because if you always see it, then you're going to be doubting what you're going to do. You're going to always be negative, and there's always going to be that fear of failure, because it's just always there, the fear of failure and doubt. All those run together. You don't want those three little piggies, they run together. They cannot stay in a mind of faith, obedience, and trust. They cannot share the same space. So you got to get fear, failure, and doubt out of your mind and concentrate with faith, obedience, and trust, and those will overpower you. Run with the winners. Run with people who want you to succeed regardless. See, those people that if when you stumble or fall, pick you up and say, okay, I'm with you. Let's go together. Those are the people you want to run with, not the ones that are going to let you fall, watch you, laugh at you, or turn your back and walk away. They're the ones that are going to stand by your side. Guess what? God stands by our side each and every day. So therefore, we should do the same. So don't think of failure as something death, something that cannot be overthrown, something that you can't kick to the side, because you can kick it to the side. You can kick it to the curve. You don't want to concentrate on it at all. No, 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 no. You don't want to do that. So Max Lucado says that God loves you just the same all the time. No matter what you do, He's going to be there for you. God looks at your mistakes and failures, but guess what? He looks at them, and He just crosses them off, and He keeps looking at it and crosses them off, whereas man just hold on to them. God says, stop worrying about the failures and mistakes and doubt and the stumbling. Just direct your eye to the what? To the cross, or keep it on the prize. Failure. As I said, do not become a victim of your thoughts. Once we hear that word, you failed the test. You failed this. You didn't do this right. You didn't do that. You stop making mistakes over and over and over again. They say, always concentrate on your positive. But some people were taught to concentrate on what? Your negative, and try to bring it up. But guess what? When you're busy concentrating on something that you're not really good at, the one thing that you're good at begins to fall, because you're not practicing it, you're not sharpening it, you're not improving it, you're not taking it to a higher level. So I want my listeners out there to really concentrate on the positive inside you, the hidden treasures that's deep inside, the powers that God gave you. He did not give you fear. Remember fear and anxiety. He did not give you the power of those. He gave you the power of faith, trust, and obedience. Those are the things you want to concentrate on. So do not become a victim of your thoughts. Change your thoughts one thought at a time. Your brain cannot house faith, trust, and obedience. The same thing with fear, doubt, and failure. Kick those to the curb. Do not let fear become your bed partner. Do not let failure become your little cloth that you put on. Your shield is faith. And so you want to carry your shield with you every time you step out the door. Concentrate on trust, on obedience to God, not man. Do not put your hopes into man, but put them into God. When you fail, as I mentioned, or make mistakes, I should say, God is not going to leave you there. Remember I said He's going to pick you up and take you on to something else. Zig Ziglar says in his books, embrace the struggles, because for every struggle there's an opportunity to learn. Every obstacle is an opportunity to get over something, opportunity to learn something new, bigger and better, an opportunity to take you to a high level from the basement to the what they call the penthouse. So stop thinking about failure. Stop beating up on yourself. Stop criticizing yourself. Stop believing in other people, what they think about you. Believe in what God says about you. Believe in yourself and what you can do and not what man tells you you're supposed to do. Max Lucado wrote in one of his things, how hurts bring hope. Nights without stars, days without sunshine. You keep looking for a ray of hope to hold on to, but you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and dawn. Another crisis, another disappointment knocks you to the ground. And what? And what do you do? Where do you turn? When you're mirrored in a sticky swamp of hurts, how do you climb out? The answer isn't found in bartering with God. We don't barter with God. The answer isn't found in completing a checklist. You know how man wants you to complete a checklist. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do that? The answer is found in making a choice, choosing to concentrate on the hurt or choosing to have faith in the leader. Let me repeat that. You can choose to concentrate on the hurt or choosing to have faith in the healer, to hide in the shallows of hurt or to walk in the light with the Savior. What will be your choice? So I'm asking you tonight, what is going to be your choice? Are you going to be out there with the grumpy person? You're going to be out there with a person that makes you fall down and stumble, the hurt, the pain, the unforgiveness? Or are you going to stand upright and walk with Jesus? That's the person you want to walk. So what if you fail? You look at it and say, okay, what can I do to make this right? What can I do to make this positive? What didn't I do? Maybe I shouldn't say what I didn't do. What can I do? See, that's the thing again. It's changing the mindset. Going from, as my friend would say, stinking thinking to what? Positive thinking. So I would have to concentrate. Okay, so you don't have a lot of money in the bank. What can you do to increase the money in the bank? So you didn't make it. That test, you look at, okay, what can I do to improve my skills? What can I do to make better changes or more better positive changes as opposed, again, concentrating on the negative? Stop thinking of negative because it just makes you depressed. You go into that pit. You just feel, oh, I can't do this anymore. You want to give up. But somebody told me that could be failure. When you don't try but just refuse to stay where you at, you want to what? Move forward in life. You want to start thinking of failure as something negative, death and dying. Because then what happened? Then you do. You don't want to do that. God didn't put you on earth to die at an early age, or, you know, he put you here for a reason, to help serve others. And when you start serving others, you volunteer. You do other things. So you're unemployed, you volunteer, you help people. And when you're busy helping other people with their mess, guess what? Sometimes what? Their mess could become a message to you that all of a sudden now you uplifted and happy and go-lucky and running around, you know, because you're busy concentrating on helping that person. You forget about what you're going through. Right, you forget about it. And then next thing you know, you walk out there. So let me give an example. A friend of mine went to visit my mother at a nursing home, and across the way was my friend's church sister's mother. So we went into the next room to worship her, to pray with her, you know, chat with her, to uplift her. Before we even get anything out of her, she said, come here, ladies. She put her arms around us, and she's praying for us. Would you believe it? She's praying for us. I was like, wait a minute here. We thought when we walked out here, we're supposed to be praying for her, but she prayed for us. That's the type of person you want to hang around with. No matter how murky the water is, no matter how high the mud is up to their knees or waist, they still find something positive out of their situation. They're not going to be there for long. As my mother say, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. You're not going to stay there. You're going to be uplifted and moving and going forward. And so what if you hit again? You just what? You get back up again. You brush the dirt off, brush the mud off, And maybe sometimes you carry that mud a little bit with you just to remind that you are not going back there. You're not. Another thing to help you is saying positive affirmations. I am making a road for the future, not just for today. The road we pave with our words of today will become our future. So today I choose to speak with power and I'm prosperous. I'm intelligent. I'm creative. I am grateful. I am. I am great because he has told me so. Yes, he has told me so. So stop and give up the struggle. Stop being negative. Stop criticizing. Again, stop beating yourself. There are days when the obstacles in our lives do seem overwhelming, too high to climb over them or too wide to get around them. We can't get through when we reject those who said we can't do it. We can get through when we release the doubt. Remember, release that doubt. We can get through when we search for our inner strength. We got power inside of us, my listeners. We got enough power that God gave us to use, but we failed to use it out of that pit. As they say, from the pit to the pulpit. We can get through when our potential is unlimited. We can get through. So stay on the path. Moses took the Israelites out of Egypt because God told him to stay on the path. You have to trust me because whatever's coming down the path, just trust me. He got to a certain point, and of course, you know, the Israelites, again, didn't trust, didn't obey, didn't listen. And so therefore, they had to walk around for 40 years. Woo, I don't want to do that, walk around for 40 years, dear God. I want to listen. I want to obey. So failure would be kicked out of my bed tonight. Each day we press forward only to hit the rocks of hard times. We fall back down, but as long as we continue to get up, we will prevail. Waves of transition. Those are affirmations I wrote years ago, and now I still look at them and still can use them and say, what? Yes, when one door closes, we all know another one opens. Don't rush things. Because your season will come, and when it does, your life will be overflowing and blessings will fall down. Do not push the door. I had a minister who was cooking one night, and her husband was there, and they went to go get their son. I think he came home from school, and what happened was they had run out of the house to go get him at the airport. They came back and found the house on fire. And they were trying to push and push to get into the door, but the door would not let them get in, you know, open. So the fire department came, and of course, you know, they put it out. And so they were telling the fire department they were trying to push, and the fire department said, no, you don't want to do that because it'd be a flashback. You're pushing in, and the flames will go out and consume you, and the whole place will be blown up. He says, it's a good thing you didn't get the door open. And she just thought about it, and she said they couldn't cry, and they, you know, pick up what they could. And her sermon that she was writing, her sermon the next day was about the fire, that some doors were not meant to be open. Ooh, that's right. Some doors are not meant to be open. So therefore, if you fail at something, maybe that first door was not meant to be open. You sit back and wonder what you did wrong, what you can do better, how you can change that. Then you fail again. And again, you say, okay, let me do it this way. Let me tweak it. Let me change it around. Let me focus on this. And you may fail. And probably by the third, fourth, fifth time, bam, you get it. I know because I took the RD exam five times, honey, five times. Well, four times I took it and failed. By the fifth time, I passed. Only passed by 2 points, but I passed. And I've been a dietitian ever since. But I remember studying those long nights, taking that test. Boom, you failed. Oh, you know, they give you that letter. Oh, you one sentence. Right away, they let you know you unsuccessfully didn't pass this test. Right away. Took the test again. Unsuccessfully, you didn't pass. I said, Lord, I'm just tired of seeing those words. Went to this study group, and they had all the questions and everything. Study. Then what happened was, I get to take the test, and guess what? That study questions I studied was on that test, and we try to memorize and try to get, and at least I passed by 2 points. So now when I get a job, guess what? They don't ask me how much was your exam or how far you passed or what's your points. They want to know what? If you can do the job. God says the same thing. He wants to know if you can do the job. Man, always ask you a lot of things, but God wants to know if you can do the job, and guess what? He pulls you up out of your pit and says, okay, go do it. Don't run away like Jonah. and getting a lot more obstacles, a lot more, you know, swappy muds and everything, go and do what God asks you to do. So release the pain, release the past, release your negative thoughts, release bad relationships, take a deep breath, and start what? All over again. So release that negative energy, and what? If one door closes, there is a reason for that door, and don't be focusing on that one door. It's like make a deal. You know, you go to door one, bam. You go to door two, bam. And then maybe door three is your lucky prize. That's what it takes sometimes. We might have to fail in order to succeed. Embrace the struggles and not be just focusing on the negative and embracing the negative, because that negative would tear you down. You want to have high hopes, and that's what God has you here for. Finding your purpose in life. Once you find it, embrace it, enjoy it, and spread it around. Don't focus on the negative at all. Failure is just that, just something temporary. Just want to change you in a different direction. Pastor got up one day and gave a speech, and then he looked over and there was another pastor in the audience, and the pastor rose up and they talked a little bit, and then he said to the audience that this guy, when he went to another church, and he was confronted. They didn't want him because he was a black man in front of a predominantly white church. He had a lot of obstacles, a lot of hindrances. They just fought him tooth and nail. They would not want him to succeed. We know how, that sounds familiar with the politicians. But guess what? They kicked him out, but guess what? He was changed down south somewhere where he got a bigger and better church. See, sometimes those doors are meant to be closed. And I have to understand and have to learn it, but you definitely want to sometimes get through. Because you do wonder, why is it some people always get on the first time? Why do some people never have any obstacles or anything? Why do they always seem to get what they want? And then there's some of us that we got to work so hard for it. But then we learn from it, we embrace it, and then we become teachers of it so others can what? Succeed. So whatever you're going through in life is not for you. So stop focusing on you. So if you're going through breast cancer, if you're going through, had a heart attack, or if you had a stroke, or you lost your job, or foreclosure of your home, it is not for you. It's for that story for you to tell other people about and help bring other people up. It's like the men with the three talents. One man spent it, one man overspent it, another one just what? Put it in the ground in the dirt and showed the master, look what I did. But if you look at that story and read it over and over, it was like he was keeping it for himself, so therefore he didn't help the other people surrounding people. It just stated, it did not double, it did not increase in worth. It still remained the same amount. Let's say it was a penny. It still remained a penny. Whereas others either they multiply and brought back more, others, you know. The idea, whatever talent or gift you have is for a reason, and then sometimes there are some pitfalls along the way. But you got to share it. So look at your story, look at what you're going through now, whatever circumstance it is. It is not just for you to hold on, but to spread it among a lot of other people. That's what we want to do, spread it with the joy, spread the happiness, let everybody know it's all right to fail. So just hold on for a few more minutes, and we're going to go to another little promotion, and then I'll come back, and if those who have any questions, let's go.
Do you want to learn how to become organized? Learn how to become stress-free. Learn how to live your purpose. And learn how to say no. Well, register for the free Telesummit hosted by Renee Wiggins at www.resultsbyrenee.com. This spiritual bodybuilding will change your mind, temple, and life. Register for free at www.resultsbyrenee.com to hear from 10 dynamic speakers that will help you find joy and balance in your life.
Well, guess what? I do have another telesummit coming up. It's called The Comeback. It's based on women who have gone through hell and came back. Their fear ruled their faith. They beat the odds and won. I'm going to have powerful, authentic, inspired women who are going to tell their stories. This is coming up in June, So look for the advertising in the next couple of weeks. I call them the Comeback Queens. They have a story to tell you. They thought they were going through fears. When you hear their stories, you wonder, wow, how can they get through that mess? But their mess has now become messages for others to help them to succeed and to propel, to go forward in life. True, true. There is spiritual failure. There's also failure. Spiritual failure is doubt and fear and failure. But because of our trust and love in the Lord, we can overcome that. We look at it as life lessons and not as life obstacles. We look at life things that we can change, ever-changing, life-affirming, a transformation. That's what failure could be, a transformation. Remember Saul, the murderer, became Paul, the teacher. And that's what some of the fears we go through in life is teaching us so that we will be able to teach others. So don't look at failure as something death, decaying, an albatross around the neck, something wearing you down. We are going to become bigger and better. So forgive yourself and forgive others. Look at changing our thoughts so we can change our situation, so we can change others. Look at us as a whole. Embrace our struggles so we can embrace others so they can also what heal. So failure might be something that we do need to keep in our vocabulary, throw it away. Failures look like it can beat us from the back and beat us from both sides, left and right. But there's only one way we can go, and that's up and forward and keep our eyes on the prize. Failure may be something just short term. I shouldn't say something, but failure is short term. It is not lifelong. It is just something that help us to get where we're at. I mean, look at Lincoln. They said he failed at everything. He failed at opening a business. He failed at becoming a senator 2 or 3 times. He failed at this. But guess what? Eventually, he became a 16th president of the United States. He was tall. He couldn't really walk. He wasn't very a beautiful, attractive man. But he was a God-fearing man, and he wanted people to get along together. And God put him in a place where he needed to be. So all those things that he failed at, he succeeded at being the 16th president of the United States. Thomas Edison, the same way, failed at a lot of inventions, but then eventually what? Bam, the light bulb. And then Alexander Graham Bell, he had failed at a lot of things too, but look at it, then he was succeeded. And the telephone was really invented for what? So deaf people can hear. Deaf people can hear. We hearing people use it, not the deaf. But he was succeeded on. The Wright brothers had failed so many attempts trying to fly a plane. And now we can go anywhere in the world. And now we even try to go to the moon, all because of them. Henry Ford, the same way, failed at many attempts. Then he succeeded with the car. So we have to look at our inventors and look at what inventions that some of them tried, and some gave up, but somebody else picked up and it succeeded. And they tried, losing money, losing their homes almost, but they knew this thing was going to work, and guess what? Their idea came to fruition. It worked. So now they're what? This thing has been reinvented so many times, the plane and car, you know, the refrigerator, how it started out, the freezer, how it started out, all because one man's idea or one man's trash became another man's what idea. So they succeeded at trying. They didn't fail. No matter how many times they didn't succeed, they didn't fail in their minds and they didn't fail in their hearts. They kept going. And that's what we have to do. We got to keep going. And as some people said, until we get it right. Or to what? To the lesson we learned, that's all. To that lesson that we learned. And once we learn it, guess what? We move on to the next thing. It's just like the cornerware pots we have. We used to get them a long time ago in the 60s. They were around the commercial was they fired them, and then took them to the freezers. Because that was the idea, that this particular part can go from heat to cold to heat without cracking, without breaking apart. And it did. And it lasts very long, these pots, very long, because they can sustain any type of temperature from very cold to hot. And that's where life should be, where we can be able to sustain any type of pressure or negativity given to us because of our faith and belief and trust in a God, that we leave it with Him and not with us. That whatever thing hampers on us or try to hold on to us, we say, this too shall pass, or do not come near me, or return to sender. That's all we have to do. We don't want to become like Lot's wife and look at the past and become frozen in it. We want to be able to move through life and be able to help another person. In other words, each one should be able to reach one, or each one teach one. And that's what we want in life. So the failures in our life are just something that propels us to move forward, that we will be successful in anything that we do, because God always sees us as successful. He sees us in His image. He is our Father. He's a happy parent. So no matter what we do, the little baby that falls so many times, what, eventually they get up, they start walking, and then eventually what, they're running. And the parents look at them and congratulate them. They say, ooh, even when they fall, ooh, and then they get up. We got to keep that same attitude, because when we see somebody fall or stumble, I see people laugh. No, you don't laugh. You go grab them and help them up. So you reach one, well, each one reach one. Each one reach one, you teach one. That is what we're supposed to do. So failure tonight is going to be kicked to the curb. It's not going to be able to come into my house. I hope it doesn't come into your house. And that fear and doubt also, we're going to kick them to the curb, because there's no room for them in my house, and I hope there's no room for them in your house. So faith, trust, and obedience, that's all we got to concentrate on. No matter how many mistakes we make, how many things we didn't reach our goals, or how many things didn't succeed, we eventually will, because we can succeed in God's eyes. He planned for us, He has a purpose for us, and when we find it and work on it and review it and keep practicing on it, yes, we'd be successful in God's eyes, but be successful in man's eyes as well. So let's go to another commercial and see what's going on.
Renee Wiggins is a Christian life coach and host of Transformation Give Up the Struggle, where she helps to equip and empower you from the inside out so you can share your story in order that others may grow physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Well, this is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually, mentally, and physically fit. That is my mission, is to help empower you so you can empower others. This coming Thursday, we are going to have two dynamite authors, and their books on What Mama's Saying and What Advice My Mother Gave Me. Two powerful authors just in time for Mother's Day that let you know that we got to should love our mothers always, learn from them, and respect them, and in their latter years, help them as they have helped us. Our mothers are dear to us. We learn everything from our mothers. So for those who have mothers still, give them a kiss for me, hug them, buy some flowers, cook for them, sit with them, call them. And you need to ask, when was the last time you talked to your mother? Take them out now and then, because they are our treasures of life. And for those who do not have a mother still, you could either visit by the grave or talk to them, talk to their sisters if they're alive. Why not elect one of your aunts or as your mother? Again, talk to them, give them a gift, hug them, kiss them, embrace them as you would embrace your own mother. Because Mother's Day was really started by mothers who wanted something to remember the mothers by. It was something that was really, they had to struggle to have. And I can't remember, but one woman did it in honor of her mother, because her mother did it for the ladies in the neighborhood and for the ladies at church before it became a significant Mother's Day. And that Mother's Day, granted or not, was granted by Congress to become official. So please honor your mother this coming Sunday with some flowers, chocolate, and spend some time, laugh with her, take her out, do anything that you can do to make her happy and make the visit enjoyable, because you only get one mother in life. This is Renee Wiggins, your spiritual health and wellness coach, and until next time, thank you.